Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is a portion of the Holy Gospel, beginning at verse 22, which I'll read again for our hearing. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he cast out the demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sin will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit." This is the text given to us this day, and our theme, faith that binds us to Jesus. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, ties of flesh and blood, these are family ties. Our flesh and our blood tie us to our family members, to our father, our mother, our grandparents, our aunts, our uncles, our cousins. Love and intimacy binds together a husband and wife. Yes, a husband and wife, according to what God tells us. Common interests and like-mindedness will bind together two friends. In every relationship, there are always bonds that hold people together. And this is also true of our relationship and our Lord's relationship with us. What binds us to our Lord Jesus? It is faith that binds us to Jesus. Faith in Jesus Christ as the conqueror of Satan, as we hear from our text this morning. Jesus demonstrated very clearly his power over Satan, and it was demonstrated in a way that is totally surprising to the world. Jesus demonstrated his great power by being nailed to a cross and dying. To the unbeliever, to the unregenerate heart and mind, this makes no sense. How can death defeat a powerful one, an evil spirit, Satan himself? Yet it is by his death that Jesus has driven out evil spirits. It is by his power, by his divine power, that he is able to do this. When Jesus died and rose from the dead, what Jesus did is that he delivered each and every one of you. He delivered you from the power of sin, death, and the devil. And as you heard with the children, that power of sin, death, and devil was dragging each and every one of us right into the fires of hell. But Jesus has delivered us from this, and he has opened the way to heaven. He has opened the way to faith and to have a relationship with him, in and with himself. Your relationship, for many of you, began right there at the font, or wherever you may have been baptized. That is when you received faith. That is when you received and came into a relationship with God. And notice that it was God who worked this relationship with you, not the other way around. But there's still a problem, isn't there? Satan, the old evil foe, still tries to bind you. He still continues to try to shackle you with heavy chains of sin and death and his own power. He does this by temptation, by getting you to believe and to think, by leading you along with many others, that you may be too zealous for Jesus. Just as we heard from our reading this morning, as Jess read, he read what Jesus had written, that even his family thought he was too zealous, that he was being too religious, if you will. And because of this, and it's even the same today, if you're too zealous about Jesus, then that may be an indication to many people that you have a mental problem, that you're mentally unstable, that this instability that you're showing is a major issue, and they will use that against you, and Satan will use that against you. He does this by misleading us, to misjudge, as did the scribes and the Pharisees, the cunning and the strength and the rage of Satan that he is venting against each and every one of you. In just a few moments, we will sing the great Lutheran hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And as you sing the last section of the first stanza, I'm going to repeat those words for you here in a moment, but I ask you to think about them, to critically think about what Luther is writing. Luther writes and says, "The old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guile and great might are his dread arm in fight. On earth is not his equal." Satan knows this. He knows you're not equal to him. So therefore, he tries to convince you, "Don't try to fight against me. Just come and follow me, and I'll show you a better way. You don't need all this Jesus stuff. As a matter of fact, if you're too much into Jesus, you'll be called a mental midget. You'll be called all kinds of names. You'll be persecuted. And who wants to be persecuted? Come and follow me, and the persecution will stop." This is the cunning, and this is the strength, and this is the great rage that he has against each and every one of you. Yet, what does Jesus tell us? Jesus tells us that Satan cannot divide himself. If a house is divided amongst itself, it cannot stand. You may wonder where Lincoln got that. Lincoln got it from Scripture, because Lincoln knew Scripture. But what is Jesus telling us? First, that he is come, that Jesus is come, and that he will bind the strong man. And when he binds the strong man, then he will plunder his house. And because Jesus has bound the strong man, who is the devil, and because Jesus has now plundered his house, you and I, each and every one of you, because of what Jesus has done for us, we are now brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We are of him, and we are in him. And even more importantly, he is of us, and he is in us. It is Jesus who leads us away from the evil one. It is Jesus who shows us that he is the one who has freed us from these heavy shackles of sin, death, and the evil cunning of the evil one. But make no mistake, dear one, make no mistake. Satan is marking his time. He knows that he has been judged, and he knows that on the great last day he cannot succeed. So he's marking his time. He's painted the bullseye on your heart and on your mind, and he's coming after you, and he's going to come after you with full force. He will not give up until you finally renounce your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And once you renounce, once you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, Then Satan will stop his evil cunning against you, and he'll move to the next person, and to the next Christian, and to the next Christian. He will not give up. He wants to take from you the faith that has been given to you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to lie to you. He wants to murder your faith, dear ones. This, as Jesus himself told us, that Satan is a liar and the father of lies, a murderer from the beginning. You see, it's faith that is worked in us. And this faith that is worked in us is worked by the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we daily do God's will. Now you may ask, what is God's will? God's will is that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. It is our brother Jesus Christ who has conquered Satan. It is clear from Scripture that he has done this. When we do God's will, when we humble ourselves before a holy and just God, and when we humble ourselves, God is always willing to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we fall to our knees and we repent of our sins, God then nurtures our faith. He nurtures us by the power of the Holy Spirit, by hearing the preached word, and coming and receiving his body and blood. And may I remind you, as you receive his body and blood, your faith is being strengthened unto life and salvation, and your sin is forgiven. This is the gift that Jesus is always working in his church. This is the gift that he is always working here in this place. This place is about Jesus. And wherever Jesus is, there is his church. And wherever the church is, there is Jesus feeding and nurturing and forgiving. And not only that, the Holy Spirit guards us. He guards us against blaspheming his holy name. Jesus clearly tells us this morning that blasphemy is the unforgivable sin, and blasphemy is resisting the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy essentially is rank unbelief. Blasphemy essentially is saying God is not God, the Spirit is not the Holy Spirit, he is not God, and I do not need God because I'm a good person, because I have never ever sinned. And this sin of blasphemy is directed against the work and the operation of the Holy Spirit, who does tell us, who does convict us of our sins, and who does remind us that we are sinners and we are not good people. We are sinners in need of a Savior. What is this work? Well, if you remember your catechism, you'll remember this. The Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. The blasphemer does not believe this. The blasphemer says that I don't need God. The blasphemer says God has not called me. He will not gather me. He will not enlighten me. And he will not sanctify me. Therefore, I am not a member of the church. And I don't want to be a member of the church. And I don't want to be in Christ Jesus. And I don't want him in me. I can do this on myself. My faith will save me, because I'm a good person. So let's go a little deeper. What is this unforgivable sin? Maybe you have surmised that it is total rejection. It is the total rejection of the Holy Spirit against one's better knowledge. Oh, don't let them tell you. Don't let the atheists tell you there is no God. They know there's a God. That's why they say there is no God, because they don't want to believe in God, because God reveals to their heart the natural knowledge of himself. They are resisting the Holy Spirit, and when they say there is no God, they are a fool. A fool in his heart says that there is no God, as the Psalm tells us, Psalm 53, Psalm 18. Just so we'll understand it, God tells us twice that a fool in his heart says that there is no God. And then when they say this, they are rejecting the Holy Spirit. And my friends, this could even apply to the Christian. The writer of Hebrews tells us this, "For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened," that's the Christian, "who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit," baptism, "and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance. Since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt." That's the plight of the Christian who believes the lies of Satan, walks away from their Lord Jesus, and says in their heart that "I have no faith in God. He will not save me. The Holy Spirit is not God. He has done nothing for me. I will do this myself." The blasphemer is an unrepentant sinner. That's all a blasphemer is. They refuse to repent of their sin. They will never, ever repent of their sin. But only by the power of the Holy Spirit can they do this. It's very important for all of you to know also that if you are sitting there thinking that you have blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, quell the thought. You are not a blasphemer. Not a one of you are. For you have just confessed your sins. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit drives us to our knees. He drives us to bow our heart before a holy and just God and to confess our sins. And when we confess our sins, that is proof that we are not a blasphemer. That is proof to us that we believe that the Holy Spirit is God and that Jesus has died for us once and for all and that our sin has been forgiven. No, you are not like Pharaoh. Remember Pharaoh of the Exodus? What was his great sin? He was a blasphemer. He was an unrepentant sinner. Over and over, 9 times over, God showed him that He is God, that He is Yahweh, and Pharaoh is not God. Yet what did Pharaoh do? Each and every time, he hardened his heart. He said to himself, "I am God, and I can do this on my own. I don't need this desert God showing me what I must do and telling me that I have to do this or I have to do that. I will do this myself." He refused to repent. He refused to humble himself. And ultimately, he refused to believe that Yahweh is God. Pharaoh died in his trespasses and sin. And every unrepentant sinner, every single one, will die in their trespasses and sin. Dear ones, do not be deceived. Not one of you is guilty of blasphemy, since you know that your Lord Jesus is your Lord, and that He has died for you, and that He has risen for you, that He has ascended for you, and yes, He is returning for you. And since you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you know that only in Him do you have life and salvation. And when you sin, and yes, we all sin, yes, even all of us, we all sin. The Holy Spirit convicts you. The Holy Spirit leads you to confess your sin. And when you confess your sin, it is the Holy Spirit who reveals to your heart and mind in faith that all your sin is forgiven. Forgiven by the blood of the Lamb who has taken away the sins of the world, who has taken away all of your sins. This is the faith. This is the faith that has been given to you. And this is the faith, dear one, that binds you to your Lord and Savior forever and ever. Thanks be to Jesus. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.